Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2018 Youth Education Conference, held in Logan, Utah.
Okay, so this class is called Keep It Positive. So we're going to just kind of talk about what happens with the things that we think, because that's what we're talking about today. It's all about our thoughts and the power that our thoughts have. So we have, but when we have negative and destructive thoughts, they cause havoc. They cause havoc in our minds. And so we want to combat those. And the truth is, we have thoughts that come in, and we either can hang out with those thoughts, or we can try and get rid of them. So we have two different parts of our mind. There's the conscious mind, which is that little tiny bit. Do you see the little tiny bit of the iceberg that's on top? That's like your conscious mind. That's what you're really aware of. But you also have your subconscious. And your subconscious, as you can see, is just like the iceberg. Your subconscious mind is huge in comparison to your conscious mind. And so much of what happens as we are reacting in our lives and so much of that is coming from our subconscious. And so it's just like with the Titanic. You run into those subconscious notions, and it just sinks you. And you end up with a lot of those destructive thoughts are kind of buried into your subconscious. So this little person shows you the difference between a conscious and the subconscious. In between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind is something that's called the critical factor filter. And it is the place where when a thought comes into your mind where you say, huh, is that true? And if you say, yeah, that's true, then you're gonna let that in. If you say, that's not true, then you kind of bounce it out. So when you're small, you don't have a critical factor filter. Everything that you say to little ones, they totally believe you. You know, you tell them, and it mean anything, and you can tease them, and they'll just like go right along, right? Which is the difficulty. You don't really start to develop your critical factor filter until you are like 9, 10 years old. So when you're young, somebody tells you that you're stupid, you're like, yeah, I'm stupid. It must be true. Somebody told me that, right? You're ugly, you're fat, you're like, what are all those things? You're incapable of doing that. You probably wouldn't use that word, but the idea would be there, right? All that stuff kind of gets planted into your subconscious mind. We all have that kind of stuff in our heads. All of us do. And then those are those voices that can come back and talk to us in your own mental voice saying, man, I always screw up. I'm always doing it wrong. I'm so stupid. I can't do this. This is too hard for me. I never can figure this stuff out, right? Like all that really negative stuff. So what we're going to talk about today is taking advantage of your critical factor filter. Because you can actively choose not to let those thoughts come into your subconscious, and instead you're going to bounce them out. You do it all the time. So if somebody were to come up to you and say, oh my goodness, you are as tall as a giant, would you think, oh my goodness, I had no idea I was that tall? No, of course not. You would think, okay, that's a stupid thing to say. Like, that's not true. That's not true. Like, they're joking with me. They're teasing me. But you know it's not true. You can bounce it out. Now, if you had been teased because you were so tall and somebody said that to you, even though you know it's not true that you are as tall as a giant, you might instead say, I'm too tall. They're teasing me because I'm too tall. And that, instead of bouncing it out and saying, I'm not as tall as a giant, that's not true, you would be prone to say, oh my goodness, I'm too tall. Right through your critical factor filter, right into your head. Do you see how that works? All of us do this. Your subconscious is like a genie. Isn't he cute? Your subconscious is really not very smart. You're smart. Your subconscious, not so much. If you tell a genie, you say, I don't know if any of you guys ever watched the TV show I Dream of Jeannie on reruns, and she is asked to do things and she just does it. Sorry, it tells you my age. She just does it. And then terrible things happen. Like, that's the whole basis of the show, that she takes the direction and she follows through with it. And then they're like, oh, shoot, I should never have asked for that, right? Okay, your subconscious, if you tell your subconscious, I can't do that, this is too hard for me, your subconscious says, okay, this is too hard, I can't do this, so I'm going to keep this from being possible, right? Like, the message I'm getting is, we're trying not to succeed, so we're not going to succeed. There's a movie that none of us, it's an R-rated movie, and the whole basis of it, so we're just going to talk about the basis of it. You don't actually need to run out and watch this movie. And I can't now think of what it's called. Amy Schumer made a movie recently, and it was all about, if you've seen the previews, where she hits her head, and she, when she comes back, she thinks that she's beautiful. Thinks she's got this great figure, that she is one hot mama. And then she moves forward in the whole movie. The premise of the movie is that she then responds to the world from this place of confidence, and it just transforms her whole world. So she's on the bottom, she's not making any progress, and by the end of the movie, she is on top, she has become, like, she's powerful. Then she hits her head again, and, spoiler, sorry, your guys, Amy Schumer, don't go see it, but she hits her head again, and she comes back to herself, and then she has, like, this learning thing, that, wow, I really am as great as I was thinking initially. And that's really what we want to do. We want to take the power of our subconscious and we want to put it to use. We don't want to allow it to be undermining us. We want it to help us, okay? So, whatever we say, whatever we speak, we are basically directing our subconscious. So you can see in this picture, the kitten is thinking, I am a lion. And so that kitten, how is that kitten going to be feeling? Powerful, capable, not afraid of anything. And then we see the girl who looks in the mirror, and what is she thinking? I am so fat. And so then what is she seeing? It's completely, I mean, that's what anorexia nervosa is all about, this perception of being fat when you are actually so thin that you are needing hospitalization oftentimes. I mean, people can die from it, but they continue to look in the mirror and think, I am so fat. So it's that perception. All right, now what I want you to do. On your piece of paper, I want you to write down, and this is all very personal, and we're going to take some time. I want you to write down all the negative and defeating thoughts. That's what I want. All those thoughts that you have, and we all have them, all of us. So anything that you say to yourself, anything that gets in your way about, like, I'm stupid, I'm incapable, I'm not loved, I don't have any friends, nobody likes me, any of that yuck that your mind tells you, I want you to write those down. And I'm going to be quiet for a little bit while you do it. Write them all down. Okay. I'm going to move on, and you can add to your list. The truth is, all of us can have a really long list. So what we can do, because what we're trying to do, right, we're trying to take the genie of our subconscious and make him work for us, right? Him or her. We can have, depending on, you can decide the gender of your particular genie. We all have one. And so the way we do that is through affirmations. And so we're going to now kind of talk about how to write an affirmation, because there's power here. So even if you don't have it all, like, now these thoughts, anything that comes up, you can always write an affirmation for it. So when you write an affirmation, you need to talk, this is like, how do you talk to yourself so that your subconscious mind hears you? That's really what we're talking about. You want to make it personal. So when you talk to yourself, you want to say I. So I wouldn't say Susan is, that's my name. but I want to say I am. You want to make it positive. You do not want to say, I don't overeat. Okay, if I say that, I don't overeat, what do you picture in your mind? Like overeating, right? Like I'm not going to eat all the French fries. And then in your mind, your mind's going, because your mind does not understand the word not. It just thinks, eat French fries. I love French fries. I do. I love them. I love French fries. I love French fries. I will say no thank you to the hamburger. I'll just have fries for dinner if we go to a burger place. That's half the time. That's my choice. So if I say I'm not going to eat all the fries, my mind is thinking, oh, yeah, think of her eating all of the fries and sharing from everybody else. And are you going to finish those, right? So instead, I want to keep it positive. I eat healthy. I make healthy choices. I eat a small serving of French fries. I eat half of the French fry container. I make sure that everybody else has a chance to also have French fries instead of me gobbling them up before they ever have a chance to get their hands on them. And I say it in the present tense. I'm not going to say I'm going to only eat a small serving. I did eat a small serving. I'm going to say I eat a small serving of French fries. And it's what I want, not what I don't want, which we already just talked about. So that's kind of, that goes. So you're saying, so if you want to get your, like, for example, I've decided that I stay up too late and I want to get to bed at a better time. Then I'm going to say, I go to bed, and I'm in bed by 10 o'clock, allowing myself to go to sleep. That's what I do. That's me. And I'm going to just now invite you to take a little moment, and I want you to take all of those negative things that you wrote down, and I want you now to turn each of those into an affirmation. Okay, we're just going to move on, and you can finish this, those of you who still are writing. And those of you who even are done, you can always tweak these. So the power of affirmations is what we're doing is we're trying and we are working. I shouldn't say that. Nah. We are working to change the voice in our head. We all have an inner critic, all of us. All of us have this critical voice that talks to us. It's our subconscious coming in there. Some people will say, you know, that they're the fiery darts of Satan. You know, I know people who will say, who talk about it like that. However it is that you conceptualize it in your mind, it's very real. These thoughts come into our heads. And so we need to battle them. The difficulty is that the critical factor filter, things can get in there, and it's much harder to change it around. So we have to go through and we have to say these affirmations many times. Our subconscious mind needs to hear it a lot. So you can actually put into practice an affirmation practice where it's part of your daily routine. You have to say it several times so that you would actually, and you want to say it aloud. You don't want to just in your mind say it. You want to go someplace where you can say it aloud, using the actual affirmation, and you can actually, I mean, the ideal is that you would do it 3 times a day. So before or after meals, you would go in to a place where you feel, where you're comfortable and be private, and you say your affirmations, each one of them, 10 times. Yeah, 3 times a day. Every day, that's what you do. And over time, and you could say, you know, in 3 weeks, I don't know that there's like a magical period, but it will begin, the change will begin even that as early as that. It's like that power stance. Have you heard of the power stance? You know, you stand like Wonder Woman and you begin to feel like Wonder Woman. You talk to yourself in these positive can-do ways and you begin to feel positive and like you can do. The flip, of course, is if you do that, all the negative talk, you just undermine yourself. So these are some self-defeating language that you just need to try and kick out of your vocabulary. And I just messed up and I used the word try. And so it's not easy, but it's possible. So now we have like this little exercise. What I want you to do is put down your writing implement, whatever it happens to be, pencil or pen. Put it down. Everybody put it down. I'll wait. And then what I want you to do is I want you to try and pick them up. Try and pick up your pencil or pen. Try. Okay. No, I didn't say pick it up. Right. I told you to try and you picked it up. So now I just want you to try to pick it up. Right? So do you feel that double bind? Like I'm supposed to pick this up, but I'm not really supposed to, like, right? That's what we're doing. We're putting ourselves in a double bind when we talk about trying. I tried to do it. I will try. I'll try to be there on time. I'll try to get that done. All of that is talking. We are putting ourselves in a double bind subconsciously. Because our subconscious mind is like, okay, so I'm supposed to do it, but then I'm not really, like, trying isn't really doing. So we want to get rid of those words. We don't want to talk about tried, and trying. Instead, we say, we will do it. I'm going to finish this math assignment before I'm done, you know, before I give myself a break. I'm going to arrive actually a little bit early. I'm going to be early today, as opposed to I'm going to try to be on time. Very different feel. Very different feel. When I say I'm going to be early, I am telling my subconscious I've made this commitment. And my genie is working with me to make that happen. Because my genie hears, okay, she's going to be early. So that means I need, you know, we're going to have to do X, Y, Z, make that happen. If I say I'm going to try to be on time, I'll try to be early. My subconscious is like, well, you know, we'll just do our morning. If she doesn't do it, it's no big deal. We're just trying and we'll fail. No worries, right? I can't do it. Okay, sometimes you're saying, I can't be there. I'm going to have to say no, right? That's an appropriate use of the word can't. But I can't because I don't know how. I can't, but. Like there needs to be a, I'm capable of doing it. I'm perfectly capable. I don't know how to do this yet, right? But I can learn. So I don't know is another one of those. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know. So we're telling her, like, I can't, I don't know. Subconscious is like, yeah, okay. No knowing this one. Not even going to try. Have you felt like in school, you're doing some kind of, when you've got some assignment or somebody's preaching it to you or your mom's talking to you about something that she wants you to learn or you've got an assignment that you've been given, a book that you're supposed to read, and you felt like that fog just like going over your eyes? Have you felt that experience? Like, okay, I'm so checking out on this one. That was me when it came to grammar when I was in school. They would just bring up anything that had to do with grammar, and I would just feel this fog just descend. And that's because in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, I don't remember this stuff. I'm not going to learn this stuff. Shoop, I'm shut down. My subconscious mind knew, okay, Susan does not do this stuff. This is too hard for her, grammar. But I hated it. I hated it. And then, of course, my grammar is very good at this point, but that's because I learned it the more natural way by writing and by reading. And so, you know, hopefully none of you are subjected to having to diagram sentences, because it just will, awful. Oh, so you've had to do it. See, awful. So you at least understand why the fog was coming. So just try. So this is one of those things, see, I just want to keep saying it. You just want to stop yourself. So when you say, I'll try, I want you to stop and say, no, either you're going to say, I'll do it, or you're going to take ownership and you're going to say, no, I'm not going to. That's part of being a grown-up. And even grown-ups don't have this down. But that's a really important skill. Somebody asks you, will you do this project? And you're thinking, you can totally say, oh, well, I'll try. When the truth is, no, I don't have time. I don't want to. It's not a priority. There's so many other things that I'm going to prioritize over that. So instead of saying, I'll try, put on your grown-up pants and say, nope, I'm sorry. I won't be able to do that. I won't do it. No, I don't have time for that. No. No is a really powerful word. And then each one of us has the right to use it. Your parents may not want to hear you use that word to them. So be prepared for giving them an explanation as to why you feel as though your answer should be no. And then you have a conversation, right? Another skill as you become a grown-up. All right. So in Proverbs, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You are creating, along with all this other stuff that we're talking about, you're creating your future. So you guys just were in with Greg Denning, and he was kind of giving you this whole, he was casting vision for you, wasn't he? He was saying, do all these things, and you're going to be fabulous. You're going to live this amazing life. So do that, and make those part of your affirmations. I am going to get into a great college. I'm going to work really hard and write a fabulous paper so that my writing mentor is going to give me great feedback. And I will keep working on it until it becomes great. Like, I'm going to do that because I want to be a writer. And so I'm going to work on my writing and I'm going to become a writer. I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to become a doctor. So these different anatomical terms and all this, these science stuff, this anatomy and blah, can just be overwhelming. But I am going to make this happen because I can envision myself as a doctor. My subconscious mind is going to take that and it's going to work with me. So that instead of it being drudgery, it becomes something because I've got a dream. So I went to college. I went to BYU for my undergrad. And I didn't really know what I was going to do. And I ended up I was a political science major because I really loved those classes. My dad said, what are you going to do with that? And I thought, I don't know, but I'm liking the classes. And there were classes that I had to take. And that's just true. I'm sorry. That's just part of college life as an undergrad. I had classes I had to take that I didn't really enjoy. And I thought, why am I taking this? This is a waste of my time. Well, I later went back to school to get my master's. And I got my master's in marriage and family therapy. Those classes, every class, I thought, I will use this. I'm going to become a therapist. And as a therapist, I need to know this stuff. I had vision. There was a purpose behind those classes. I had to take a stats class. I hate stats. I had to take it as an undergraduate. I had to take it again in graduate school. But what a different experience it was for me, because suddenly that stat class in my master's program had purpose to it. I had vision. Cast vision for yourself. Imagine yourself doing whatever. You want to become an Eagle Scout. Or if you're in Girl Scouts, you want to become a gold, get the gold level. I've got that all wrong. What is it? Anyway, you want to reach that level. Then picture yourself doing it. And then you're going to be, so that it actually will happen. When fully in the present, negative emotions go away. This is an amazing reality. It's an amazing reality. And it's hard to even feel like it's real. What I want you to do is I want you to look, and you just have to, got to go along with me here. So I want you to look at my hand. I'm kind of far away from all of you. I want you to look at my hand, and I want you to look at it. I want you to just notice everything about my hand. Just focus on my hand. Like my fingers and everything about it. That's all you're going to be looking and thinking about. Now keep looking at my hand, looking and studying my hand, and then I want you to tell me where your address. Keep looking at my hand, looking and studying my hand. Can you think of what, can you remember your address? Okay, wait a minute though. Could you remember your address when you were looking and studying my hand, or did you keep your eyes on my hand, but your mind went back into your memory to retrieve your address? Because you're no longer in the present then. As soon as you thought, okay, what's my name even? What's my name? You have to actually go into your subconscious to retrieve your name. People get head injuries, they can't remember, right? Because they're not in their conscious present mind when they're trying to remember their name, they're trying to remember their address, their phone number, all of that stuff is back in your subconscious. When you are in your fully present mind, all your mind is thinking about is what is happening right now. And so when you are totally, when you see this with little ones, they're crying, they're having fits, blah, they're so unhappy, and then you pull out this new toy or some Cheerios, and they're like, oh, cheer's gone. They're refocused, right? Like they've moved from whatever was going on in their subconscious head, and now they're in the present, and now they're fine. That reality is our reality. So the more that we can keep from our head thinking about what happened before, thinking about what's happening in the future, and some of us are more prone to that. Some people, they really just ruminate on the past. That's kind of where they tend to spend their time. Other people are dreaming about the future. I'm a future dreamer. That's kind of where my head tends to be. Like, what's going to happen next? What am I, you know, everything seems better. It's going to be so good. You know, tonight's going to be so much fun. We've got the dance coming tonight. And as opposed to right now, I'm in this class, and right now this is where I am. And this is where my mind is. When you are in your now, and this is all mindfulness, it's very, you know, hip to talk about mindfulness and being present. But the power of that is that it pulls you out of whatever negative thing is going on for you. It can pull you out. Now, this can be really difficult at times. Sometimes it's really hard to get out of the back of our heads and into the present, but there's great power to it. And so it's something to practice and to work on. Sitting in church, focus on the speaker. Don't be thinking about what you did, you know, Saturday night was great, great fun, and now I'm just going to be thinking about Saturday night. Or, oh my gosh, sister, what's her name, is here. That means we don't have a sub. And, oh, I just hate Sunday school. And here it's going to be another one of those boring lessons, right? So neither of those are going to keep you in the now and keeping you where your head needs to be. All right, so there are some pretty interesting things that have to do with our minds. So I'm going to share this. This is how we're going to finish, is I kind of share these different rules of the mind. And this is just rules on how your mind works. And so every thought or idea causes a physical reaction. People actually have problems, like they get like a stomach ache. Have you ever experienced that? Like your stomach physically hurts because you're so worried about something. So that's all coming. Those are thoughts or ideas that are manifesting themselves in the physical body. People can like break out in hives because of thoughts that they're having. So every thought that we have causes a physical reaction. Part of that is like when you're feeling confident, you're standing up, right? When you're not feeling so confident, like you can totally tell somebody, like they manifest it. Their face, if you're in the present, there's a change in your countenance when you are all back in your head. When you're able to come present, it actually shows up in your countenance. Number two, imagination is more powerful than knowledge when dealing with your own mind or the mind of another. your imagination, what you are imagining, we go back to that slide with the girl who's imagining herself fat, even though she is looking in the mirror. So I could tell her, oh no, you are not fat. You look great. You look great. You look great in that swimming suit. But if in her imagination she's thinking that that's not, you know, that she looks fat, that's going to have way more power for her. Amy Schumer, that's the whole premise of that movie. But that also comes in when it comes to you imagine yourself failing a test. You're much more likely to fail your test than if you imagine yourself staying focused. You imagine yourself going through. I mean, that's what sports people do. So we talk about like a golfer. If you're a golfer and always what you have in your head is that time that you made like the worst shot ever, and that's what you're thinking about, or you play baseball and remembering, you know, missing it. When you're swinging and you miss the ball, that's what you're thinking about. Well, then your body is going to be like, whoop, missed the ball, right? Because that's what you're thinking about, your imagination. Your imagination is where the power is, not the knowledge that you have that if you, you know, keep your eye on the ball, you keep your stance, you're going to be able to hit it. If you picture yourself hitting that ball square every time, and this is what professional athletes do. They sit and they think of it over and over and over again. And through that, they then are able to then get that perfect hit. Opposing ideas cannot be held at the same time. You cannot think I'm ugly and I'm beautiful at the same time. So by saying those affirmations, you're basically pushing out the negative because your mind can only hold one of those thoughts. And so that's the power of the affirmations. Once an idea has been accepted by the subconscious mind, it remains until it is replaced by another idea. So if you don't fight those negative thoughts, they're just going to sit there. And the sad reality of life is if we have positive thoughts, there's always somebody who's happy to come along and give you a negative one to replace it. So we've got to bounce those out. We've got to confront them and say, that's not true. I'm not taking that in. I'm not going to own that. That's not my truth. That's not my reality. Each suggestion acted upon creates less opposition to successive suggestions. We have in our minds, we have like these ruts. And every time that I think math is too hard for me, math is too hard for me, that becomes, every time I do it, It's like a wagon wheel, and it just digs a deeper rut and a deeper rut and a deeper rut, and it just becomes easier. So the next time, I don't even have to think. It happens like immediately, right? Have you guys ever been in plays? And you're learning your lines, and it's really hard, and you're having a hard time kind of coming up with it. And then after you've practiced it and practiced it and practiced it and practiced it, then it gets so that it comes really easily, right? And that's all kind of part of this same thing. So they're acting, they're moving, like you learn it. It becomes part of your muscle memory. And you're doing that same thing with your mind. So every time, and this also comes, if you've got a friend, and we all have had those kind of friends, who don't say very nice things to us. And the first time they say it, you might be able to totally bounce it out. And the second time they say it, yeah. But wow, if it just keeps being said to you, you're going to have a much more difficult time not believing it. That's true with parents. If your parents are always saying stuff to you that's really negative, and, you know, sadly, parents can sometimes be way more screwed up than their kids. Sorry, it's true. Then you need to just battle that out because it starts to feel like it's reality. When dealing with the subconscious mind and its functions, the greater the conscious effort, the less the subconscious response. This is like the most important thing, and it sounds so counterintuitive. We are told, work really hard at that. Change, like you need to change. So now I want you to work really hard at that. Okay, I'm gonna be the classic example. I'm not gonna get mad. I'm feeling mad, but I'm not gonna be mad. And the more that you try not to be mad, what happens? You get madder, you do. It like brings it up. And so, and your subconscious is like, yeah, I'm not even going there. Like we're like, she's white knuckling it. So I'm not going to even work on this one. That's all white knuckling. How successful is that? It's not. It's not. So the way that you want to do it instead is you just want to pay attention. You just want to notice. There is so much power in just noticing. I'm feeling mad. I'm starting to feel angry. I'm noticing that. I'm noticing I'm feeling angry. And then just allow your body, because there's a physical response to whatever's going on, right? There's like you're having an emotional response. And then just let that, just sit with that and allow yourself to feel angry. And then don't like give all your thoughts to it. You can say, you can then choose, I don't want to ruminate on this because I'm just feeling more angry. So I'm going to choose to do something else. I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to get out my book and read because that is helpful to me. It shifts my mind. Then your subconscious mind, like I'm going to take a walk and I'm going to do, you know, that's how you can have the power. I will challenge you to go home and actually use affirmations in your life. Figure out how you're talking to yourself and pay attention to it. And just change your language. And then you can move forward and really reach those dreams. Thanks.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.